traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, at beautiful Sunshine Meadows, and that's what it is today. It's all sunshine here. We got through a lot of cold weather, certainly not as much as we had up at our friends up in the Northeast and in Kentucky, but the weather's good. It's getting back to good Chamber of Commerce weather here, and, you know, we hope everybody enjoys their stay down here. We had a great weekend and week last week in the industry. All kinds of equine events are going on. We're in the main flow of the winter season here in Florida for all the people that we're talking to over the last week or so. We're going to start off, we had Brittany on last week with the TIP program, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. And so, you know, she told us all about that. And so we're going to give you a little bit of an update on the 2022 CHIP, TIP championships. In 2022, TIP championships returns to Stableview. The Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program announced February 1st that the TIP championships in Hunters, Jumpers, Combined Test, English Pleasure, and English in Hand will return this year to Stableview in Aiken, South Carolina. This event will also include an East Coast Dressage TIP Championship show. The show will kick off with a welcome party on the evening of October the 6th and will run through October the 9th. We are thrilled in returning to Stableview for TIP Championships in 2022, said Christian Werner, senior counselor for the Jockey Club and administrator of the TIP Thoroughbreds. Continue to prove their versatility across a wide range of disciplines, and we're excited to team up with Stableview to showcase and promote Thoroughbred's abilities beyond the racetrack. We look forward to return TIP championships to Stableview, and our intention is to make the event better than last year, said Barry and Cindy Olaf, owners of the United States Equestrian Federation Elite Training Center. With an added day of competition and recent completion of the sixth arena, we are prepared to welcome even more entries. As a bonus this year, our riders' lunges will be stocked and well lit with and have refreshments during the day, followed by Stableview signature graze and gaze each evening. Qualifying information is available on the TIP website here. Prize lists will be made available for the event in this coming spring. TIP previously announced that the dates of the Western TIP Championship and Central Dressage Championships will be held in conjunction with the Retired Racehorse Project's 2022 Thoroughbred Makeover and National Synopsism. Presented by the Thoroughbred Charities of America, October 12th through the 15th at the Kentucky Horse Park. Created and announced in October 2011, TIP recognizes and rewards the versatility of the Thoroughbreds through sponsorships of the Thoroughbred classes at High Point Awards at sanctioned horse shows, performance awards, and non-competition awards. In addition to the complete schedule of TIP, sponsored shows, other information about the program is available on the TIP website, or you can go to TIP on Facebook at facebook.com/TJCTIP. So, you know, it's all coming around for everybody and everything, and we're trying to get through it. You know, the shows go better than I do on my show here. I guarantee you that. The announcers are a lot better on there. They don't struggle like I do because they're real professionals. But that's what we're doing here on IEN, is trying to make announcements such as the TIP program. And if you have an organization or association or a breed that you'd like to get out there to the public, just give us a call at 561-466-4000. 1272 and let us know exactly what you have, or you can email us at IENEquineTV at gmail.com. You can do that and everything. So we have a great thing that's coming up here to show you how outside interests are getting involved in the horse business. We've had several, a month or so ago, we had an art show here that went over very well. It was the first art show that we'd had here at Sunshine Meadows. And all the organizer and all the participants really enjoyed their weekend here with us. And they asked if they could come back again. And so, Brandon Mills, the general manager here, told them they were more than welcome to come back again and do another show. And we didn't realize how quick it was going to turn around. Saturday, February 12th, paint out at Sunshine Meadows. It's really a nice program that they have. And Debbie wanted to thank you all for the all of the artists that have participated in the paint outs and event date. We are sending this form information to future dates and welcome few new artists to paint outs and future and their future events. This is really great because Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village paint out an event opportunity. Welcome to the 2022 season to plan air paint outs and events. We are sending an email to provide guidance for the Saturday, February 12th event to the paint out. And it's really great, here. It's different about an artist because they know the horses from a visual aspect, but they don't know them as a, as a handling prospect or being around them. But everything went good in that first show, and we were really exciting and everything. Coming here to Sunshine Meadows, we're going to give them the opportunity to paint harness horses in training, race horses in training, and riding lessons. It's really great for the artists because there's so many things that they can do, here with us that they have. Bring everything you need to be self-sufficient at the event, rain or shine. You may consider the following. Set up a canopy. The event will be on a grassy location and held rain or shine. Pedestals, tablets to set up sculptures and other tabletop items. Easels for painted and or photograph works, artworks that they'll be trying to sell. Marketing materials for the artists. These artists will be responsible to sell their own artwork. Prepare to accept cash, checks, and credit cards. All artwork sold, we are requesting a 20% commission donation to the art organization. And prepare for weather, comfort, water, food, and snacks will also be there. We plan to have food trucks on the location. So, this is one of the things that we're trying to promote for the horse business. It indirectly affects the horse business because a lot of these people that come out here to do the art and everything actually sell their paintings to a lot of the equestrians that are out here. We've had some of the owners of the horses have requested that they have portraits done of their horses or their family and their kids or their farm. So, it's not only giving the horse people things to add to their farm and to their business, but it's also creating, income for the artists that are out here. And so we're excited about that. And they're really a great group to be around. We have some of the artists that come out have won Breeders' Cup races and run good in the Kentucky Derby. And then there's other ones that just like a pretty horse and they like to paint them and photograph them. And it's really nice, for them to get around and get to know us and us to get to know them. And it really helps us with our business because it's all part of the equine culture. Historically, you've seen a lot of paintings, famous paintings all across the world that have horses in them. And back in the day, especially in Europe, the horse is all part of your daily life. Just about everybody had something to do or been involved with the horse organizations. And so, it's kind of quite exciting. So, you know, who knows? You might come out here and see a famous horse, or you might come out here and get your own portrait made and everything. So, you know, that's what we're looking for. It's on February 12th at Sunshine Meadows in Delray Beach, Florida. It's all free to spectators. Now we're getting into Quest for Equine Gold. The season's starting to ramp up. This week we're featuring Tryon International Equestrian Center in North Carolina. It says on February 3rd, which was today, we have the inaugural Winter Indoor Series, features 4 weeks of unrated hunter jumper competition in the TIEC Indoor Complex stalls. Stalls are limited and available on first come, first serve. On the first come, first serve bias. Tryon International for the winter indoor season. So that starts today, and it'll continue on for the next 4 weeks. And then we have a different item here that they have, and all the venues now are starting to open up to a variety of different things. And then they have a restaurant in Tryon International Equestrian Center. It's called Pairings at Tryon Resort, Sushi and Sake. So I hope I said that right. Join us for a fantastic dining experience at Tryon Resort, Sushi and Sake. We'll feature 4-course experience paired with a variety of sakes and chefs, James demonstrating the mastery of this time-tested classic. This is a don't-miss event. Dates are Saturday, February 5th, 6 p.m., doors open. Let's see here. Dinner can take up to 2.5 hours to complete. Location, Legends Club lobby price, 4-course pairing, $80 per person. And so, you know, it's relatively inexpensive. And some might will say, well, that is expensive. But you're talking about taking a trip to back in the past and see exactly how, you know, sushi is being fixed and arranged in the history of it. So that's always good and everything. Sunday brunch at Legends Grill is on February 6th. It says, join us for our delicious weekly Sunday brunch at Tryon's Resort Legends Grill this Sunday, February 6th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Just go to the Tryon website, and they'll tell you exactly what all you need to know about going to the brunch. And that's always good to go to on Sunday, either before or after the show. And then also they have coming up on the weekend of February 11th, they have Valentine's Weekend Comedy Night presented by Comedy Zone. Celebrate Valentine's Day weekend at Tryon Resort and treat yourself and your significant other to a full roster of can't miss events. Join us Friday, February 11th for the Comedy Night presented by Comedy Zone. One of two shows you can catch while celebrating Valentine's Day weekend with us. Learn more about the date and information, February 11th, 8:30 p.m. location, Legends Club at Tryon Resort. So that's something to go to. And just about all these facilities in the equestrian industry have, this type of thing available to the general public, and mainly for the horsemen, just to kind of get away a little bit from the, the horse end of it, you know, kind of sit back and relax and enjoy it. And then, so that's our Quest for Equine Gold information for the week. I suggest you go to Tryon, and it's really a great facility and good people, real professional. Now, the harness industry is looking to kick it up a notch. Through our friends at the Blood Horse, they posted the other day that the groundbreaking of Cumberland Run Harness Track. joint venture of Ron Winchell and Marie Falcone's ECL Racing Management in Keeneland. So now you got some big heavy hitters getting involved in the Cumberland Run Harness Track. This is something that's been needed for the industry. We haven't had a new track in the harness industry for quite a while, and it seems to be going over fairly good in Kentucky. It says, bringing horse racing back to the Eastern Kentucky took another step forward, 30-1, with the groundbreaking for Cumberland Run Harness Track. Cumberland Run and Cumberland Mint, a satellite historical horse racing venue in nearby Williamsburg, are a joint venture between Ron Winchell and Mark Falcone's ECL Racing Management and Keeneland Association in Lexington. Winchell and Falcone are the majority owners and the managing partners in Kentucky Downs, which Kentucky Downs is a great European-style track, and they offer a lot of purse money, and they get a lot of support from the community and from the Horsemen's Association. Winchell and Falcone are majority owners and managing partners in Kentucky Downs in the Mint Gambling Hall in Franklin, South Central Kentucky, between Bowling Green and Nashville. It says projects call for construction to be done in time for Cumberland Run to conduct an October 16th through November 8th meet on the Corbin property at 75 Buckingham Boulevard off Corbin Bypass. Combined investments in both enterprises will be about $80 million with more than 200 year-round jobs expected to be created. So in Kentucky, that's really good to help the community and create new jobs there for the people that are there. And you got to remember one thing, that when tracks like this open up, they create a lot more than just jobs there. They create a fan base that's going to go to your restaurants to eat. It's going to go to your Walmarts, and they're going to go to the doctor, and they're going to go to hotels, and they're going to rent houses, and you know, they're going to really support the community financially. And that's one of the greatest things about these tracks that are opening up. It's adding new dollars to the communities, and a lot of communities can use that this time of year and have something for them to look for. Cumberland Run and Cumberland Mint represent an $80 million investment in Kentucky's tourism and horse racing industries, and serve as another example of the economic momentum that we are experiencing is reaching every community in the Commonwealth, said Governor Andy Beshear. The exciting new attractions will create good-paying jobs for the Kentuckians and will attract new travel markets for southwestern Kentucky. And that's what I just said. You know, it helps everybody out that's involved with it. It says Governor Beshear was joined with Senate President Robert Stivers, Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer, and Representative Tom O'Dell Smith for the ceremony, signifying that the start of construction will be provide Commonwealth with third standard bred track. And that's pretty good. In the last couple of years, they haven't had three tracks, just the Red Mile in Lexington. And so now they have three. Harness racing is a long-time storied history in Kentucky. Think Dan Patch, Greyhound, and Niatros at Red Mile, said Stivers, whose district includes Corbin. After being on the ropes, there has been a substantial rebound for the standardbred industry. We added historical racing and a natural addition and attractive to tourism draw to the Commonwealth. And Cumberland Run will be important cog in getting harness circuit back in Kentucky revitalized again. One of the things that they had years ago when they lost the harness industry, and just to show you, when you say, you know, they lost harness racing in Kentucky, what it is you don't think about the other things that are affected there, such as the farms, the breeding farms, the training farms, the sales industry. All those go by the wayside when you lose an industry like that. and it makes it very difficult, for people in that area to find other jobs, because most of the people that are in the horse business are, trained and qualified in the horse business, and they don't have other skills that they can fall back on to replace that, that horse equine skills that they have. It's just a Cumberland Run will be the first horse track in eastern Kentucky since Thunder Ridge, also a harness track in Prestonburg, closed in 2017. Since Cumberland Run would not have become a reality without the leadership of state and local officials, Falcone said. Our sincerest thanks to Governor Beshear, President Stivers, Leader Thayer, and Representative Tom Smith for their strong support of this project in racing throughout the Commonwealth. We are also grateful to the guidance of the Corbin Mayor, Susie Rasmus, Knox County Jug Executive Mike Mitchell, and Economic Director Bruce Carpenter, without whom this would not have been possible. Last year, Corbin's dates were held at the Red Mile Harness Track in Lexington with the meet funded by the new track's owners. Mitchell said then that they wanted to show their commitment to the harness and racing and didn't want to set out this next coming season, of the year, while the facility was being built. Now, it's important for the 2022 meet to be in Corbin, he said. We want to bring these jobs, out-of-state tourism dollars, to Corbin, Williamsburg, and southeastern Kentucky as soon as possible, Winchell said. We want Cumberland Run and Cumberland Mint to be economic engines for the tourism industry in Whitley, Knox, and Laurel counties. While the region is well known for spectacular natural beauty, we think we'll fill an unreserved need for additional year-round entertainment options during the day into the night. Kingland has worked to bring racing to Corbin for a decade, teaming up with Winchell and Falcone in the project in September of 2020. Kingland is proud to work with Corbin and our friends at the Kentucky Downs on the continued growth of racing in Kentucky. Kingland President and CEO Shannon Arvin said, "We are especially appreciative of the support shown by the local community. Cumberland Run, which has been several years in the making, will strengthen the horse industry, generate millions in tourism dollars for the region, and create a destination that makes all of us proud." Construction has already begun on Williamsburg project to open in July. So it's really, fantastic that they're doing this for the standard bred industry. And, that's what it's all about here in the equine industry. And you're going to find out that this kind of follows suit from a lot of things, just like we were just talking about Tryon in North Carolina. They went out into North Carolina, in the northern part of North Carolina, and they built a tremendous show horse facility. It's an internationally recognized show horse facility, and they have many things that they have there for the equestrians. And they bring thousands of people to Tryon each year to show, to visit, to watch the shows. They have so many things there. They have great restaurants and try on, like they will have at Cumberland Run. Everything just kind of takes a step up, and makes the community more likable to be in. You come in and you get Burger Kings, and you get McDonald's, and you get Walmarts, and you get good housing, you get good apartment complexes. You get all the support things that the industry needs there that benefits the whole community. And that's what I like about it. You don't have to participate in any of the equine events, but living there allows you to enjoy some of the niceties that they have that will be there for it. So I'm excited about that, to go up and see what it's all about. And to show you that the business is getting a little better for everybody around. A lot of the tracks and everything are starting to open up full measure, to where they can have everybody there. You know, they can open up their restaurants again, open up the hotels again, and get everything going. And one of the things that the tracks do to help the communities is offer a good purse structure. Monmouth Park in Oceanport, New Jersey, to offer $8.1 million in a stake schedule, and which is really good, because when you have the big stakes, you literally just pack the place with racing fans, and it's really good. And Monmouth Park will be led by the $1 million TVG.com Haskell Stakes at Monmouth Park. It's set to offer $8,135,000 in stakes races when the track kicks off its 77th season, May the 7th. The year's race meet will run through September 17th. Will feature 50 total stakes, 10 graded events, and 9 stakes restricted to New Jersey bred horses. Several stakes will see purses boost in 2022, including the United Nations, a grade 1 on the turf, which goes from $500,000 to $600,000, and has now doubled its purse for the 2 years, from more than 2 years ago. The Monmouth Cup is going to be from $300,000 to $400,000. The Molly Pritchard, grade 3, will be going from $250,000 to $400,000. And the Windstar Matchmaker, grade 3, turf race, moving from $150,000 to $200,000. All of those races, along with the $100,000 Wolf Hill Stakes, will be run on Haskell Day. And so that just goes to show you, when the Haskell comes around, it's a premier three-year-old race. The horses that have run in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, and the Breeders' Cup. It's a great day to plan. Monmouth Park's a beautiful park to go to. It's just great. It's close to the ocean. It's in New Jersey, and there's just so many things to do. And I would suggest not only make a weekend out of it, but maybe take the whole week as a vacation type thing to go to. In preparation for the Haskell, Monmouth will offer Haskell Preview Day with 4 stakes events June 18th, the TVG.com Pegasus Stakes, the Monmouth Stakes, the Salvador Mile Stakes, and the Eatontown Stakes. These are all good graded stakes races. And again, it's a preliminary to the Haskell Day events. So it's always good to go out and see, you know, all these things that are coming on. That's on June 18th, and then July 23rd, it will be the Haskell Day program. The 20th annual New Jersey Thoroughbred Festival with 3 stakes events will be renewed August 28th with $125,000 Charles Hess, the third handicap, headlining the card. So it's always good to go in and see things that are going. The meet will conclude September 17th with the third running of the $500,000 Now Stakes for two-year-olds going into a mile on the turf. And what I like about this is that, and we're going to go to here in a little bit, about the two-year-old races that are being highlighted for two-year-old races. This is a very, very nice race that's coming in. Kind of gets your horse, start getting your horse ready for the Breeders' Cup, and then looking forward to, you know, the three-year-old as a Derby potential in here. And it's good purse money, and it really has some good horses and good trainers that will attend that. So we were excited about that, see that come along. And then couple of other races here that I was looking at, and I always like to see when you go to Monmouth Park, you know, it's not every day, it's not a big stakes day, but you can pick your days out here. I always liked the three-year-old stakes race. It's called the Regret Stakes. It's on July 2nd. It's for three-year-olds and up, fillies and mares going 6 furlongs on the dirt. It's a good sprint race, and it's very competitive. And you see a lot of horses come into town for that from other tracks. The other one that I also really like to see, and I'll tell you, it's the Salvador Mile. 150,000 for three-year-olds and up going a mile on the dirt. You know, it's just unreal. It's a great race to watch. And then we can't forget the $100,000 May 29th Jersey Derby for three-year-olds going a mile on the turf. So you'll see a lot of good horses in that race that have competed in the Kentucky Derby and in the Triple Crown races. And also, it's always a good one to see. Now we're going to get into the 29th of the last month. That was a big day in horse racing. Let me tell you, it was Gulfstream Park was internationally televised, and I mean, let me tell you, it was one heck of a day at Gulfstream Park. A lot of fans were there, a lot of good racing, good food, good entertainment. It was just unbelievable. And so I'm going to highlight the day for you, and this is the races that we focused on at Gulfstream on the 29th. We have the results and the entries for you here. It was race 8 on the card. It went off at 3:03 p.m. Eastern time. It was a $200,000 fillies and mares, four-year-olds and upward, going 7 furlongs on the dirt. This was a fantastic race that we had there. We had some good people in there. Todd Pletcher had A.G. Indy in there. Day Romans had Family Time in there. Ian Wilkes had Four Graces in there. Mike Trambata had Jakarta in there with Irad Ortiz in the irons. Brad Cox had Just One Time. I mean, it was a great race race day to start off the last four races of the day there. And I mean, it was good. It was loaded with good talent, good people. And in that race, Just In Time won the race. Just In Time was trained by Brad Cox. The mare ran a great race. She went off as the favorite. And it was just unbelievable for the race that day. It was so competitive and so exciting to watch that day. You know, everybody that was there had no complaints. It was a good race, and it was a good time. And so what I liked about it is it gave everybody a competitive edge there. They came in and they knew what they were going for, and they knew, and they had to plan these races out. These are the kind of races that you get in and you have to have some strategy in them. And Brad Cox had that for him, just like he does in every race. And it was a great race. That was the inside information there. And then the next race that we had on the card, which was race 9, it went off at 3:36 p.m. Eastern time, was the Pegasus World Cup Philly and Mare Turf. It was a great race. They were going a mile and a 16th on the turf, and the rail was at 55 feet. And there, and the purse on this was $500,000. And let me tell you, this race, I was just unbelievable that day. So many good horses in there. Todd Pletcher had Sweet Melina in there. We had Roger Atfield had Lady Spike Spears in there. Chad Brown had Regal Glory. Which these are all horses that are outstanding. Shug McGahey had In a Hurry in there. Graham Motion had Bipartisanship from Great Britain that was in there. And this was really a race that was open for everybody to win. It was a jockey's race that you might say that took over the outcome of this race. And in this race, I was really surprised. Jose Ortiz rode Regal Glory to victory. I thought this was a good horse, but I thought there was a lot of other horses in there that could catch her, and none of them did. She went by 2.5 She looped down the stretch and had a good mile drive and just won it easy. And that was for Chad Brown. Chad usually gets these horses ready for him. And this was a stellar field for him to compete against there in the Pegasus World Cup turf and mare and turf race. It was great. They're really good at what they do there. And I was just so excited to see Chad win that. He's a great horseman, and he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, there's not much you can say bad about Chad. He's really good at what he does. And then one of my favorite races, well, in fact, this is probably my favorite race on Pegasus Cup Day. It was race 10. It's the Fred W. Hooper Stakes, presented by Hillendale Farms. And it's a grade three, and it went off at 4:12 p.m. Eastern time. It's $150,000 for four-year-olds and up, and it's a mile on the dirt. And, you know, the mile race in the thoroughbred business, you've got to have stamina, you got to have speed, you got to have a jockey that can navigate the mile. If you make a mistake somewhere along the line, you don't have a lot of room to correct it. So that's why I like this race. And the Fred Hooper every year always gets great horses in there. Todd Pletcher, again, had Fearless in there, which is a nice horse. Todd also had Liam in there, which was a nice horse. Dale Romans had Dennis's Moment. Billy Mott had Speaker's Corner. And it was really a great race there to see that day. And me being on the inside to a lot of these and privy to a lot of different things, I got to see both of the Pletcher horses do what they need to do. And, you know, I was excited about it. And I thought maybe that they were going to be right there, with the winner. And but they weren't. Speaker's Corner for Billy Mott, he came up with a win. And the horse, I mean, he just really, he dominated that race from the get-go, from the time the gates opened till he crossed the finish line. And it was a mile race. And so that kind of just tells you, you know, that he got out first and he ended up first. And there's not much room for error, and there's not much room for catch-up, to the leader once they get out in front of you in that mile race. And that's what I liked about the Fred W. Hooper. It's always exciting. You don't know who's going to do what in there. And then we come down to a race that I would say is probably a race that a lot of Europeans would like to have. It's kind of a shorter race for Europeans, but it's a great race to see. It was race 11. It went off at 4:49 p.m. Eastern time. It's the Pegasus World Cup Invitational. And when we say invitational, they're invited to it. They invite some of the best horses in the world to this race. And we had Mark Cassie in there, had March to the Arch, which is a good horse. We had a lot of good horses in there. Brian Walsh had Space Traveler in there. Mike Maker had a Tone, which are good, solid horses. You got to go out and beat them. You just can't follow them around the track. Barclay Tag had Doswell in there. Chad Brown had Sacred Life in there. It was just unbelievable. Todd Pletcher had Never Surprised in there, and Colonel Liam. And Colonel Liam is a horse that, let me tell you, when you see him running on Saturday, you got to start beating him on Thursday night when the entries come out. They came out of the gate, and Colonel Liam just stalked the leaders, and he wins by one. And then come up again, Todd's second horse in there, Never Surprised. He stalked his stablemate, and he runs second in it. Now, this was a million-dollar race, and I'm telling you, it was a great one. Liam, he was by Liam's Map. he's just unreal. This Colonel Liam is just like his bloodline. It was all right there. And it was a million, like I said, it was a $1 million race. And it was a good day for the Todd Pletcher value stable, because 531,000 went to the stable. Second place had 177,000. So, you know, that's a great day, you know, for a race that that you're involved in on Pegasus Day. And I mean, I tell you, there's just so much to the horse industry, horse shows, horse racing. Once you start getting behind the scenes, you really start appreciating everything that you see. And on our website today, it'll be the last day that it's up. We had the Pegasus World Cup that was run on the 29th. It's a $3 million and one of the most prestigious races in the world. I mean, it's an invitational. And let me tell you, he had the 2021 Horse of the Year Nick's Go in it by Brad Cox. We had Life is Good, which is a Breeders' Cup mile winner for Todd Pletcher. We had Empty Tomb by Mr. Falcone, great trainer. We had Sir Winston, Mark Cassie, had title ready for Dallas Stewart. Mike Maker had endorsed, and J.J. Toner had commandeer. So it was a good, solid race from horses all over the country that came in and to do it good. And just to let you know, Nick's Goal, which was Horse of the Year in 2021, this was his last race. They retired him and sending him to stud. And he was just unbelievable. He's owned by the Corian Racing Authority. And so it was a nice day for him. Everything looked like he was going to go on to be the favorite in the race. But at post time, he went off as second favorite. And that was quite interesting. Right at the end, people jumped on Life's Good. This was going a mile and one eighth on the dirt. And the interesting part about this was Life is Good seems to be maybe the world's best sprinter. And we were waiting to see how this would do, how he would handle a mile and an eighth, you know, going against this type of horses. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So the race goes off, and Life is Good comes out of the four hole, out of the four stall. Nick's Goal comes out of the one stall. Immediately, Life is Good jumps to the front by two. At the half mile pole, he was 3.5 in front. At the three quarters pole, he was 4.5 in front, and he wins by 3.25 lengths off the rail and had a mile drive. So he got out there, the fractions were good. He really ran like a true champion. I was just amazed, to see him do this. He's a China Horse Club Incorporated and One Star owned horse. It was just a great race. Nick's Goal ran a great race. He just, didn't get the jump out like he should have. And Life is Good added to his money and his earnings. He put $1,755,000 in the bank, which was really good. And then Nick's Goal, which is had over $8 million in earnings, he put $585,000 on top of that $8 million. And so it was really a good race. Nick's Goal is a good horse. All the horses in this field were very good. And you'll see those coming up through the summertime, at different tracks around the country. And also, it's been a struggle to get through all this here. They had so much going on. And it's been cold weather here in Florida. And, we've had down into the 30s. And it's a big change on the horses. And, we had quite a bit of rain here and there. So it was really something that was different. And also, it just goes to show you that every racetrack has its day. Like Monmouth is going to have their day this summer. It's good to go to Monmouth. It's up on the Jersey Shore. There's plenty to do there. other than horse racing. You know, you can spend a good afternoon at the races, and then you got good places to go out and eat at night. And same thing here at Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach, Florida. You know, that's great racing. They've got a great facility there. They have a casino. You know, you name it, they've got it there. And you're right on the ocean or close to the ocean there. And there's plenty to do. So whenever you start thinking equine events, and you look at a place like Gulfstream or Monmouth Park or Churchill Downs or Cumberland Run, you know, you can make a weekend out of it. It's just not like you're going there for 2 or 3 hours of horse racing, you know, that type of thing. You know, there's plenty to do other than the horse end of it. And so now we're going to get in here to some things that we're talking about our documentary, How They Get There. It's about how they get to the 2022 Kentucky Derby. And last week, on the 29th also, which is another big day, you know, that we just went over, we had the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes. It was race 9 at Oaklawn Park. And it's a Derby points race. And so you get a lot of real good, you know, horses involved in this race. And everybody's pointing to the Derby because you don't have much time to get your points to the Derby. You got to really start looking at what you're doing. Dallas Stewart had Ben Diesel in there, which is really good. Kenny McPeak had Dash Attack. And they had COVID by Hartman, with Mr. Hartman in there. And Steve Asmussen had Costa Terra in there, which was really good. And D-Wayne Lucas had Ignis in there. A trainer by the name of J.A. Ortiz had Barber Road in there. And I thought that horse would be the horse that might win this thing. Steve Asmussen had another one in there, Classic Moment. Bob Baffert had Newgrange in the race, which is a phenomenal horse from out west. And then, so it was a good race. It's for 3-year-olds up, $750,000 going a mile and a 1/16 on the dirt. And this is a Derby point race. And, you know, I keep saying and a lot. I'm going to name a horse at and in here and see what he does. And he finished second. That's probably what I'll be saying on him. But anyhow, in the Southwest States, Bob Baffert comes in from California with Newgrange. And this horse just dominated the horse from the get-go. Everybody tried to stay with him, tried to go with him. And they just couldn't do it. He ends up winning by a length and a half. And he was four wide, a quarter, found more room and just drew off with it. That was a nice race for Bob. He did a great job getting this horse ready. It was $450,000 to the winner. And it's also gave you Derby points for the Kentucky Derby. And what's interesting about this is we don't know if these points that Bob earned today are on the 29th in the Southwest Stakes is going to be accepted by Churchill Downs. Bob has some issues that he's going through with Naira and Churchill Downs and racing just as a whole. And they're trying to figure out exactly, you know, what the deal is and you know, who's going to do what and if his horses get in. And it's going to be interesting because Bob's probably got 4 or 5 horses that are close to earning enough points to get into the Derby. And if he doesn't, it's going to be an interesting situation to see how that all unfolds. But we'll know they're in court with it now. We'll know by Monday, you know, what exactly happens. But on how they get there, the Southwest Stakes is a stakes race that we highlighted last week, being a Derby points race. And now this coming week, February the 5th, we go to Aqueduct. And Aqueduct is hosting the $250,000 mile and 1/8 on the dirt Wither Stakes. And historically, this has been a nice stakes to have to under your resume for winning. It's a historical stake that a lot of great horses gone on to win. There's 11 horse field in here. Mike Maker has Grantham in there. Billy Mott has Gilded Age. Kelly Bring's got a Covasir in there, which is a nice horse. Dutro has Unjoy in there. I think that's how he said. Might probably wrong, but and then but Chad Brown has Early Voting, and Mike Trombetta's got a horse called a Maryland bred called Mr. Jefferson. So I think he's going to be a good horse to keep an eye on there. That's Mike Trombetta with Mr. Jefferson. He's a good horse, comes out of a Maryland stable. He's just somebody I think that's going to sneak up on him because they don't see much about him, you know, out on the Derby trail. You don't hear much about him and everything, but, you know, this is the Wither Stakes at Aqueduct on the 5th. And post time for that is 4:25 Eastern time, and you'll be able to see that on IENTV.org on Saturday afternoon. Then we go down to Gulfstream Park, the Holy Bull Stakes, 5:10 Eastern time post. It's a $250,000 three-year-old going a mile and a 16th. So as you can see here, we're getting into the mile and eighth and mile and a 16th races. And it's just to really test and see if your horse is ready to run. You know, if he's on the right track, on the right path to the Derby, and you're going against good competition, that anybody could win any of these races. You're stretching out from a mile to a mile and an eighth, you know, that type of thing. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But like I said, this is a $250,000 added in there. And we have in here, Top Puncher has McGonigal in there. He's the favorite at 3-1. We have Billy Mott has Galt in there, which is a nice horse, and Billy's always got him ready to roll. We have Rusty Arnold's got a horse called Spinwheel, and he's a long shot at 20-1, but he's got Julianne to improve in the irons, and I think, you know, this might be Rusty's day today. He might sneak this horse up in there and you know, get something with it. Todd Pletcher's carrying 124 pounds in this race. And Todd has used this race before to set him up for winning the Florida Derby. And what I like about this race in here, it's a good purse money. It's a mile and a 16. And the thing that I like about it the most is that if you've got a good horse and you go in as the favorite, like Todd is, you're looking at 124 pounds that he's going to be carrying. Now, remember, the Derby carries 126 pounds. So every time Todd takes a horse to the gate over here in their quest for the Kentucky Derby on how they get there, he's always getting his horses ready in Palm Beach Downs and at Gulfstream and Aqueduct. He gets them ready to go, and so this is going to be a true test. He'll be really, it'll really be good to evaluate this horse because he is carrying 122 pounds. And that's what I like about this, this race here. To add another, or 124 pounds, sorry about that, to add another 2 pounds for him, it's not going to be that difficult because after this race here, he'll lose, you know, his horse there will come in and, McGonigal, he'll lose some weight, but he'll gain some weight and he'll mature a little more from it. You know, Todd knows how to get these horses to recover. A lot of trainers train a horse and point him towards a race. Todd trains him to recover from a race so that they can go on down the road and be successful like he was with Life is Good in the $3 million race at Gulfstream last week. And then on Saturday, and to show you the different ways they have of getting to the Derby, you know, we're sitting there, we're looking at the Holy Bull. It's a mile and 116th, and it's a good class field. You know, so I'm sitting here thinking that's also a grade three race, you know, for the three-year-olds. And then you come back and you look at on the race five on a stake schedule on Saturday at Gulfstream. You're looking at the Claiborne Farm Swale Stakes. It's a grade three also, but it's only going 7 furlongs. And so that's what I'm looking at is a lot of these horses are trying to prove themselves and they're trying to see what they've got against good quality fields opposed to, you know, on the way up, you know, you get a lot of horses that'll be in a field that or they're good, but you know, are they stakes quality? So, you know, that's something that you have to fight with. But this race is a 6-horse field. And so that's what I'm looking at. You know, we're looking at the Holy Bulls, a 9-horse field, but this is a 6-horse field. And I tell you what, there's a horse in here, Mr. Prankster. He's for Todd Fletcher. He carries 120 pounds with Saez in the saddle. And I think that this is going to be a really good horse in here. And then Brad Cox has got In Dreams. He's a California bred, and he's a nice horse. He's got Ortiz in the saddle. And I tell you what, I think he just might be the horse to beat. I think Fletcher and Brad Cox are, from here on out to the Derby, are going to go head-to-head in a lot of races because they've got that kind of stable, you know, that they're training out of. And they're all good horses and they're quality, and they both know how to get the horses ready. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they do and how they do it. You know, so there's a lot of exciting racing coming up on how they get there. There's a lot of exciting things to do, like at Tryon for the upcoming summer. A lot of the different shows and the restaurants and the malls. A lot of these places like Gulfstream and Tryon are putting in malls close right at the tracks or close to the tracks. And so it gives you everything that you might need. One, it's kind of like a Disney World of the equestrian industry, like at Gulfstream and Tryon and Wellington, Florida, at the Winter Equestrian Festival, or at Lexington. You know, so it makes a good family entertainment, and you don't have to plan just like a day trip. You can spend 2 or 3 days and enjoy the area that you're going to, you know, to attend these equestrian events and everything. And then one of the things that we're kind of looking at here coming up is the Kentucky Derby. It's getting right around the corner here, and now's the time to start planning out where you're going and what you're going to be doing, and you know, see if you would like to go to it. And I tell you what I like about the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont. They all have a big week of entertainment that they do during the week of the Belmont or the Preakness or the Breeders' Cup or the Derby, you know, type thing. What I like about it is like at Churchill Downs. It's literally a 10-day deal now there at Churchill in Louisville, Kentucky, and Lexington. The whole state there is really all about equestrian. And you had the 3-day Rolex, which we talked about last week, that'll be going on at the Kentucky Horse Park. You have a lot of shows there, which is 90 miles away from Churchill Downs. You have a good long week of racing there at Churchill Downs every day coming through. And then what I like is about the Kentucky Derby Festival. You have one of the largest fireworks shows in the world there. You have balloon races, hot air balloon races. You have steamboat races. You have chili cook-offs. It's just amazing all the things that you have Derby week to go to. You know, you can go to ChurchillDowns.com and see what all they have, you know, there with it. And it's a great thing for the family to go to, something to look forward to. Get your Derby hats out, and you can go see the last week at Kingland, the first week at Churchill. And you don't have to have the Derby to wear a Derby hat when you go to the races. You can go to Gulfstream, Hot Springs, or anywhere, and the girls can put on their hats, Derby hat, or their equine hats, we'll call them, and their dresses, and the guys can dress up and get out of their grubby clothes and put on a nice suit and go to the races, or you can just go casual and everything. But that's basically it for the week. Another hard-fought, struggled show that we've accomplished. Hope everybody can enjoy the equine industry at some time and point. You know, if you got any questions, call us at 561-466-1272, and we'll try to answer them if we can. And we thank BBS, and we thank Blood Horse Magazine, and Sunshine Meadows, and Delray Equestrian, and Palm Beach Downs for giving us the opportunity to do what we're doing here. And give us a call, and let us know what you're doing in the equine industry or where you would like to go. This is Scott Miller. Looking forward to next week and all the results from the racing and the shows and everything next week. And we've got two special guests that will come on next week. And I think you'll be really surprised and excited when they come on. You'll probably want to call in next week. So this is Scott Miller saying good luck, happy trails.